Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 2 Peter. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
God has extended His grace, that unmerited love and favor to you and me. And so that's part of the cornerstone, right? The kind of the foundation or one of the key factors to this faith that we have. We give our lives to Jesus, we believe in Him, but we really experience this peace. No matter what turmoil is happening around us, there's just this sense of God's presence and His peace because of His grace. We know His grace, we experience His peace. We don't know His grace, we don't experience His peace. We got to live in His grace to maintain that peace. We got to live in it. We got to know it, walk in it, enjoy it. And so He says, grace and peace, and I love that, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's speaking specifically of a relationship here, isn't he? Not of a religious experience, but a relationship with the one true living God. Now, God's brought us into this family. We've been born into this family. When we read in Ephesians, we find out that we've been born into this family, and then as we've been born again into this family, the body of Christ, as we're born into that family, we immediately become partakers in the family business. God's got a family business. Our father's got a business. And his business is kingdom building. He's a builder. And he's a creator. And he engages us in this family business as we were adopted in as adult, as adults, and we come in, we're children in the Lord, but we have this capacity to function and do things. And the Lord brings us in and he wants to teach us, how does this family business go? What can we do? So he's given us this divine nature. This divine nature, he says in verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. By which, in verse 4, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. His divine nature, or his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's something to, I'd encourage you throughout the week this week just to, to muse on something means, right? To contemplate it, think about it, dwell, just kind of mull it over, kind of just work through it a little bit in your mind, in your heart. Let it kind of permeate into your being. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness. That everything you need to walk with the Lord has been given to you. It's now part of your DNA. As you are born again, it's part of who you are now. And I love the fact that it's so inclusive. One, he says, his divine power, so it's God that's doing this work, that's done this, and he says, has given, which means it's something that's been completed. It's there. It's in you. Now, you and I have a place to walk in that, right? We have to make the choice to walk in it, to follow him and stuff. But you can see this right here, that he has given to us. And then it doesn't say some of the things you might need, does it? It says all things, everything that you and I need to live out this new life. Again, think of this. He's speaking to a group of people like us, but there isn't the vast history, other than the Jewish history that we have other than God's word from Genesis, you know, through Malachi or Malachi, however you want to say it. But you know, we've got all these, all of this is there, which is all part of the heritage of believers, no doubt. But this new entity called the church, Peter's saying to us and to them, hey, look, don't freak out. Just because you're not sure exactly what to do, it's okay. Everything, it's been imprinted into your being now. It's there. It's been imported. You've got this new DNA. It's in there. That I think that's fascinating to think about. His divine power has, past tense, it's completed work, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need is there. So, you look at the newborns, you know, when they're born. We've got little tiny ones, you know, of the grandkid style. But we got these little tiny ones. And you look at them and, you know, well, our little grandson, you know, had to examine his sister right after she was born. And so he was probably a little over he's about 2.5 when she was born. And so he's at the hospital, and we were there. He was in the room when we were there too. And so he's in there, and he's looking at her, and he's just examining her. Now, if you've seen my grandson, he's just like his mama. He's got very defined eyebrows, right? And so, you know, he knows. He sees himself in the mirror. He's examining his little sister's strawberry blonde. So he's looking, he's counting all her, he's looking at her fingers, her toes, everything, checking her all out, making sure everything's there, right? And then he looks at her, he goes, and he looks at Katie's mom, he goes, Mommy, where's her eyebrows? She's missing something. Something's missing. You know, it's just a perspective. But the thing that's interesting is everything, it's a complete unit. It's born. It's not lacking anything to be a person, is it? It's a complete unit. What does it need? It just needs to be nourished and to grow. That is what Peter is telling us here. Everything is there. It's all there in you. It's all there in me as this thing, this being a part of the church. It's in you and I. It's in us. All it needs is to be nourished, that we need to grow. Everything we need for this journey of life and godliness, it's in us. It's there. So you're not lacking. You didn't get slighted anything. It's all there. Everything you need to live a life that pertains to life, and you know, just this life of and godliness, this new life in Jesus Christ and following him in godliness. And he says, through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So that word virtue is moral excellence. And that word glory there is where we get our, you know, the word comes from kabod, or the something of substance. Something of substance. It's been given to you, this glory and virtue, this knowledge of God. We have everything that we need, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. If you don't have one, I encourage you to get one. They're very inexpensive. They're small, little pocket promise books, Bible verses. Man, those are great to read through. The promises that are yours and mine from his word. He has spoken to you. He has spoken to me precious promises. He has promised things to you and to me. He promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He also promised that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I know we don't pin those ones up, but it's still true though, right? He did promise that to you. He promised that to me. So when it happens, hey, you're kind of heads up. You know what's going on a little bit. All of those things, we got to be in the Word to be able to know those promises that are ours in him. that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. As we glean those promises and we begin to be these partakers of that divine nature, we live this new life in him, and we've escaped the corruption, he says, that is in the world through lust, no longer living that way. He says, now, we've got this new life. This is what he's been talking about those first few verses through verse 4, this new life in Christ. You've been born again. You got this new life. It's planted in you. And he says, now, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So this divine nature, this holiness, this life that's set apart to the Lord, we want to see, we want this life of faith to develop. Giving all diligence, being committed to, persistent in, the idea of diligence, you know, they just stick to it. Right? You're going to stick to that and follow through with that. It's something that's very foreign in our world today, I think, a lot of times. You know, it's something that's unfortunate. Add to your faith virtue. So he starts to give us seven things here that we're going to find that we're supposed to pack away and carry with us and add into our lives as God, he's wanting to develop these things in our lives. And he says, hey, you know, the faith that you have, you want to add to that, add to your faith virtue. And this is really interesting that he would bring this up at the very beginning, but it basically means moral excellence. Basically, what am I listening to? What am I thinking on? What is my focus on? These can either be virtuous or not so. You know, I'm thinking on, you know, I think a good way to go is go into Philippians, and he says, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, meditate or dwell on these things. That was a summation. The list is a little more involved than that. But, you know, that idea, to think on those things, those would be things of virtue. Those would be virtuous things to contemplate. Things of good moral excellence, not filling our minds with a bunch of the junk from the world, okay? So he says, at the very beginning, you've got this faith in Jesus Christ. Now if you believe in the Lord, that's awesome, that's great. You want to grow though, right? Everything's been entrusted to you, it's in you, but you have to be dining on the right things that you might grow, that you might develop and mature in your walk with the Lord. So he says, first of all, the first one was virtue. But it's like this thing that it all interlinks. He says, then to virtue, knowledge. Now why would those things be coupled together? Because see, all these things, they're like on a daisy chain. You know, a daisy chain, you know, they link together. They all link together. Why would he link them like this? Very specifically, the Holy Spirit has orchestrated this and put things in motion for a very specific reason. Because we want to have good virtue. We don't want to be dining on a bunch of foolishness, because to the next thing, he says knowledge. And it's not just knowledge, head knowledge. It's knowledge of him, knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. Now, it's hard to gain the knowledge of God when you're glutted out on the other stuff. The other stuff doesn't leave much room, and you don't have much hunger for the things of God when you got all this worldly stuff trafficking around in your head, right? It kind of kills your appetite. We talk about this, but it's very real and very practical. The same thing that happens to you physically can happen to you spiritually. You know, it's supper time, you're hungry, you're on your way home, and you decide, well, it's not that big a deal. The little hot fudge sundaes from McDonald's aren't that big, you know? It's kind of like an appetizer, right? You know, it's just a little bit of something, you know? That's horrible, right? You know it's bad for you, but, you know, these things happen. So you get home, and now you're just not hungry. Your appetite got killed. That was a non-virtuous choice, by the way. The knowledge. We want to grow in our knowledge of him. We want to, so the first one was virtue. We obviously, we're clear on faith. We're born again. We have this life of faith. And then now we want to add virtue to that. The next thing we want to add is knowledge of him. And then to knowledge of him, self-control. So, what does the Bible say? Some, you know, knowledge is an important thing, right? Knowledge of him is a very important thing. But knowledge puffs up, and love builds up. We got to be careful to handle our knowledge properly. So when he says knowledge, and then he says self-control, it's interesting how he links these things together. To knowledge, then self-control. Basically, being able to handle the information that you have wisely. Not thinking of yourself because you have some specific understanding about something doesn't mean everybody else has that same understanding at this point. And then how you convey that information either is edifying, going to be helpful. It's not to be judgmental. It's not to be critical. It's not to be religious in that sense. It's supposed to be from a relational standpoint, seasoned with grace, right? Because you and I are all the recipients of grace. And we stand in grace, and we want to walk in grace, and we want to convey things to others. As we get information, knowledge of who God is, we want to be able to share that and with a good way, with self-control. Not getting too ahead of ourselves. Then he goes on and says to self-control, perseverance. Why would perseverance be in that list right there? Perseverance, or often the direct connection is patience. Perseverance, endurance, or patience. I've got this information, this knowledge, growing, learning more about God, nature of God, who God is. I'm learning more about him. I've got this information. And I want to handle that right. I want to walk in that right. And so I want to exercise self-control with that. But then it says, man, this next word of being patient, you know, this is where it kind of ties into being patient with others. Because not everybody has all the same information. This is what's good about fellowship and interacting with each other, because we can learn and glean things from one another. So he says, man, you want to be able to exhibit perseverance or patience. And then patience ultimately leads to, it says, to perseverance, godliness. I want to be able to, this idea of godliness is to really stand for or standing for truth. I want to be able to, godliness. In our world today, being godly would be someone who's standing for righteousness even amidst a current that is very unrighteous, right? Our world, we agree, right? Our world around us is unrighteous, right? We agree with that. And so we want to be godly. We want to live godly in an ungodly society. How do I do that? This is that process. You don't jump right to godliness. You know, it's in you. It's there. But these are kind of the building developmental things that you and I need to live this out, to grow and to mature. So he says, we want to be able to stand for the truth or represent truth. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. Being kind, you know, there's a lot to say for kindness. Isn't there? You ever gotten an email or maybe a text or something from somebody, and they just sent you something they were just very kind words? They're very encouraging. We've all got the other emails, right? Maybe I get more than the rest of you, but we all get those emails too, right? The other ones, you know? They're just lashing out at you and just, you know, all kinds of craziness. But isn't it nice when you just get those ones that, man, they're just kind words. A kind word turns away wrath. It's a good thing. Even when sometimes people get so excited and upset sometimes, and when you just say, wow, and you just sit back and just exchange, not in like style, but try and throw a kind word in there. It's not always easy. We need the Holy Spirit to do that, right? We need God's Spirit to help us with that. But the importance of that, a kind word, brotherly kindness. Kindness is such a good thing. It's a rare commodity in our world in which we live. You know, just kindness. It's taken me a long time to get some of this stuff, you know, developed in my life, but I'm trying and wanting to grow, and eventually one day I'll go be with the Lord and I'll be all growed up, but between now and then we'll do the best we can. Found sometimes just exchanging kind niceties when you're interacting with someone, even at the grocery store. You know, the guy that's putting the apples out and all this stuff, I don't know if he really likes what he's doing or not. I don't know. I mean, he's just working, just doing his thing. But just, hey, how's it going? It's not a huge effort on our part, but just that kindness. You know what that's like when someone expresses that to you, and what that the benefit of that to you. It's a good thing. And so it's kind of this developing idea, this standing for truth. And while we're standing for truth, we want to exhibit this kindness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, ultimately, this thing that we can never put into our lives. It is the end result, though. The end goal is that agape. You see, agape love is something that is an import. It is part of the divine nature. You and I can't display it apart from God doing it in and through us. It's not something we can dig up and cause ourselves to show more agape to people. It's there. We just need to let it be there and let it exhibit itself. It's in us as Christians that this agape love is in us. And I really do. We talk oftentimes when we get into the things of the Spirit or talk about the things of the Spirit. You know, it's so important that the things that we do are motivated by that agape love. That is really, really the manifestation, the real display of God's Spirit being within us, that outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear His word, He's doing something in your heart, and He wants to begin that good work in your life as He's done in many of our lives, and He wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/calvarychapelkc. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.